Chapter 3. Clothing is the fabric that defines and measures time. Oleg Cassini. At 4:30 a.m., Kate's alarm clock fell to the floor, still trilling like a five-and-dime hummingbird. She'd rolled over to turn it off, but accidentally knocked it over to where it now lay, insistent.
Friday.
Every bone ached. Every muscle felt sore. The list of what had to be done was long and began with Kate hemming a T-length chiffon cape for a 15-year-old girl who would probably be miserable wearing such a creaky old thing. There was also Mrs. B's lace ball gown, which needed adjusting. The lace was Spanish and delicate, very prone to unraveling, so it was difficult to tell how long the task would take. And then, maybe, one or two alteration jobs that Maeve couldn't get to because the fittings were overbooked. 2 days' worth of work needed to be stuffed into 8 hours. It took Kate another moment to realize that her front door was open. Hello? She distinctly remembered locking the door the night before. At least, she thought she did.
Who's there?
Light from the street lamps shone through the thick tatting of the lace curtains that she'd made and illuminated the front room. Everything seemed fine. Kate got out of bed and took a quick look around. The tiny white kitchen was still immaculate. Her mother's bone china teapot, a balik with tiny shamrocks, was still gathering dust. Kate took all her meals downstairs with her sister and her family. That was part of their agreement. $14 a week, and Kate made all the clothes for Maggie and her two Mikes, both big and little, in exchange for room and board. Next to Kate's kitchen, the old door that served as her work table still held the muslin skirt pattern Mr. Charles had made for her. Floor length. He told her it would be positively enchanting for New Year's Eve. Next to it, there were two bolts of matelassé silk, hand-loomed to look like a bed of white roses that she'd planned to make it with. The skirt would be too fancy for the dance at the Good Shepherd, but...